Well, greetings everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally and internationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 120 countries worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on nuclear suicide when we come back. And let me ask you this. What do you think's wrong with the Ten Commandments? Because it's pretty obvious that something is wrong with the Ten Commandments because they've been banned from our public schools, banned from our public institutions, and they've been banned from our national consciousness. Now, instead of these 10 simple, time-tested laws, we see the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto in their place. And they're teaching these 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto in our public schools, our public institutions, and we've made them a part of our national psyche. Now, you know, this is a pretty radical change in our political and moral outlook over the past 50 years. Are you aware, for instance, your daughter couldn't receive an aspirin in your public school without your consent, but your daughter can have an abortion, that's right, an abortion, arranged through that same public school nurse without even your knowledge, much less your consent. That's why I contend that the solution to this kind of moral perversion and national insanity is to go back to what worked. Let's go back to the Ten Commandment model and the Mosaic Law. You know, our founding fathers practiced and advocated the Ten Commandments, and they even put 22 principles of that law into our federal Constitution. And there's still at least one school left in America that's still teaching this entire Mosaic Law, the Ten Commandments, and all 759 statutes, judgments, and commandments, as well as the penalties and the benefits for their observance. Now, every law has a penalty. You do not have to know what the penalty to the law is to suffer from its effect. So whether we call this the Mosaic Law, the Law of God, the Common Law, the Natural Law, or Karma, or something else, it's automatic, and it works just like AIDS, herpes, and VD, which just happened to be the natural penalty for adultery. Now, if you'd like more information, why don't you call and order our free general law CD package? That's a four-hour commentary on the law in general. And it's educational, it's informative, it's entertaining, and it's free. And you can call and order one right now. The number is 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, you can go to our website, georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, and you can download that free general law CD package at your convenience right there in the privacy of your own home. How's that for a deal? Why don't you do it right now while you're thinking about it before you forget? All right, we're talking about nuclear suicide. It was an article brought up by Joel Skousen in his book called Strategic Relocation. Joel Skousen's book, Strategic Relocation, you can get one by calling him and asking for it. You're going to have to pay for it. I'm not saying it's free, but call him and tell him, hey, I want one of your books. Telephone number is 801-224-4746. Now, once more, that's 801-224-4746. 4746, or you can write him an email, Joels, J-O-E-L-S, at joelskousen.com. That's J-O-E-L-S at joelskousen.com, and he's at 290 West, 580 South in Orem, Utah, 84058. If you're writing a letter, that's 290 West, 580 South, Orem, O-R-E-M, Utah, U-T-A-H, 84058. Now, that's book number one. Now, we're reviewing another book over here called Nuclear War Survival Skills, and I suggest that you get both of these in conjunction. because the one gives you the political insight, strategic relocation, and the best solution, which is to get the hell out of Dodge. The second one over here deals with the practical facts and figures that you're going to need to deal with in order to build a fallout shelter in your backyard. So if you're going to stick with the program in downtown Cleveland, that's fine. If you've got the wherewithal to build a first-class A number one fallout shelter, it also serves as an earthquake shelter, an emergency shelter, tornado shelter, hurricane shelter. Man, a shelter is a shelter, and a nuclear fallout shelter, and that's what we're talking about here this week, is this thing of nuclear fallout. We now have a policy in the United States which guarantees nuclear bomb war. It was enacted in December of 1997 when President Clinton announced the new policy in the United States would be to absorb an attack before we launch. We will no longer launch our missiles upon a warning that incoming missiles are on the way. We're going to absorb all of those missiles first, which means that in a massive first strike by the Russians and Chinese, they will knock out most of our retaliatory forces. Two-thirds of our nuclear submarines are in port at all times. That's a part of the policy. And our ICBMs are already targeted. The Russians have those targets. Those will all be knocked out before they're launched. So that'll eliminate those. Then there will be an EMT blast, which will knock out our power grids and our communications. Now, when all of this transpires, the window that Joel Skousen has picked is 2009 to 2015, when the Russians should get to the peak of their military power, and America should reach the lowest ebb of its military power, which will be the optimum time for the Russians to strike. Now, I would be remiss if I didn't bring in Bible prophecy, because God, the creator of the universe, has something to say about this nuclear bomb war that's coming. And it's written with specificity in a book called Ezekiel. And you'll find he's one of the three major prophets. You've got Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel. Ezekiel was an Israelite in captivity. Then he wrote a prophecy. Remember, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, correction, reproof, and instruction. So Ezekiel didn't write this. This is not some backward-thinking, long-haired, bearded prophet speculating on the future like Rasmussen or Rasputin. This guy was selected as a scribe to write down what the creator of the universe said he's going to bring to pass. Here's something he's going to do. And that's what prophecy is all about. Prophecy, from the biblical point of view, is what God Almighty says, here's what I'm going to do to you. As opposed to the speculations of a Gene Dixon who speculates that California is going to fall into the ocean. Now, it may be that California will fall into the ocean, but if it does, that's a good guess. Gene Dixon can't make California fall into the ocean. I can't make it happen. You can't make it happen. There is one guy, God, who probably could, but he's never claimed that that's what he's going to do. So I think you people on the California coast are safe. I don't think California is going to fall off into the ocean. But here in Ezekiel chapters 5 and 6, there are a couple of prophecies that deal with the destruction of the United States of America. Now, this book is written to the tribes of Israel. And the primary tribes of Israel are Ephraim and Manasseh. That's Great Britain and the United States. This book, if there was one in the Bible written to the people of the United States, this is it. So, for you people in California, Washington, and Oregon, and New York, and New England, and in the Midwest, and the South, and Texas, and Arizona, pay attention, because here's some information that you need to know. Starting in chapter 5, he says, "And you, son of man, take you a sharp knife, take you a barber's razor, and cause it to pass upon your head, and upon your beard, and then take the balances to weigh and divide your hair. You shall burn with fire a third part in the midst of the city. When the days of the siege are fulfilled, and you shall take a third part and smite about it with a knife, and a third part you shall scatter in the wind, and I'll draw out a sword after them. You shall also take thereof a few in number, and bind them in your skirts. Then take of them again, and cast them into the midst of the fire, and burn them in the fire, for thereof shall a fire come forth into all the house of Israel. Thus says the Eternal, the Lord God, this is Jerusalem, and I have set it in the midst of the nations and countries that are round about her. And she has changed my judgments into the wickedness more than the nations, and my statutes more than the countries that are round about her, because they have refused my judgments and my statutes, they have not walked in them. So if you want to know what God's bitch is, he gave us some information, gave us some instruction. He said, this is what I want you to do. We gave him the finger and told him to kiss off. That's what he's ticked off about. It's just that simple. No big mystery. Don't have to be a rocket scientist. It's like telling your kid to go mow the grass in the backyard. He gives you the finger and he goes down to the mall to play video games. Okay. Now, what are you going to do about it? Now, I never did that when I was a kid growing up. First of all, I'd been taught better than that when I was young, but it never even entered my mind. It never entered my mind because I could not imagine what would have occurred to me had I done such a thing. Was I terrorized by my father? You bet. No two ways about it. Terrorized. Now, God is way off someplace. You know, in most people's mind, you know, he's way off out there in the third heaven. And what we're concerned about is the highway patrolman and the local public officials. We're more concerned here about the IRS and the EPA than we are about the Creator. Now, I would like to suggest that maybe, just maybe, we should start taking into consideration the other side of the coin, because this guy, this God, says, here's what I'm going to do to you. Now, he's got a little bit more to say about this. He says, I will do in you that which I have not done, and whether whereunto I will not do any more the like because of all of your abominations. He says, I'm going to do something to you people that's never been done before and will never be done again. You people in the United States of America are going to come in for an ass-kicking like you ain't never seen before. I've never done it before, and I'm never going to do it again, but I'm going to do it once, and I'm going to do it to you. He goes on to say here in verse 10, he says, therefore the father shall eat the sons in the midst of you, and the sons shall eat their fathers, and I will execute judgment in you, and the whole remnant of you will I scatter into all the winds. This cutting off of Ezekiel's hair for the express purpose of dividing it into three groups says, number one, I'm going to destroy you with a war. And that sounds like nuclear bomb war to me. Because in chapter 6, verse 6, he says, in all of your dwelling places, the city shall be laid waste, and the high places shall be desolate, that your altars may be laid waste and made desolate, and your idols may be broken and cease, and your images may be cut down, and your works may be abolished. You're going to destroy Missouri. It's going to destroy New York and Texas. It's going to destroy Washington, D.C. Going to send us into national captivity. Number one, you're going to kill us with the war. Number two, we're going to starve to death. And then number three, the remnant is going to be taken captive and scattered into all the nations of the world. I suspect that you Canadians are going to be right in there behind us, and you Australians and New Zealanders won't be far behind them. You Australians and New Zealanders need to look north. That's China. They're coming down there and taking over. When the nuclear umbrella is taken off of you, you're going to be standing naked out there in the Pacific. And the Chinese are going to come down there and make a spoil of you. Here in North America, you Canadians are tied to us, you know, like a kid to his mother's apron strings. And I suspect that you're going to go into captivity right along with us. Hell, there's only 30 million of you, which is about the size of California. All they're going to do is just take over North America. I suspect the Chinese and the Russians are going to divide this for a spoil among them. But in verse 11, this is chapter 5, Ezekiel chapter 5, verse 11, says, "Wherefore, as I live, says the Eternal, surely because you have defiled my sanctuary with all of your detestable things, and with all of your abominations, therefore will I also diminish you, and neither shall my eye spare, and neither shall I have any pity. A third part of you shall die with the pestilence and with famine. Shall they be consumed in the midst of you, and a third part shall fall by the sword round about you, and I will scatter a third part into all the winds, and I'll draw out a sword after them." Now, it could well be that the famine and pestilence comes first. That's what that verse indicates. But other verses in the Bible, or other stories in the Bible, Jeremiah, Isaiah, Matthew, Mark, Luke, Revelation, indicate to me that the first thing that happens is the war. The war comes first. Now, it may be that we're going to have a siege. Now, a siege now is an embargo. A siege is where you take and surround a city and starve them out. And then when they get weak, then you attack them, and then you destroy them, and then you carry them off captive. Now, that's very traditional. And that may be the way this thing comes down. The way it is scoped out, though, when we get to our weakest ebb, which may be as a result of the Chinese cutting off our credit, we may go into a period of disease. Now, you know, they've got this H1N1 virus coming toward us. Hey, what if that's the 1918 Spanish flu? You know, that could very well be. But we got three events that's coming upon us. We got disease and plague. We got war. And then we got national captivity. Notice that he said the fathers will be eating the flesh of their sons. That's cannibalism. It is going to be so bad here that cannibalism is going to reign supreme. So I just thought I'd throw that one out there for you. Most people don't believe it. Most people wouldn't listen to this if you slapped them up alongside the head. And I'm not here to tell you you need to believe me. I'm just here as a reporter. Just here as a reporter. I got through with the latest privateer. The latest privateer, it's got the worst economic news. July 27th and 28th, the Chinese are coming to the United States to lay it on the line. We're not going to lend you any more money. Clean up your act. So the Chinese now have $2 trillion worth of U.S. dollars. Well, not quite that much, but damn near. And they've been funding. They've been buying our bonds and treasuries and institutions like Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae. And the president is now spending this year, he's going to spend right at $2 trillion to stimulate the economy. Now, here's what this boils down to. All the nations of the world, 209 countries in the world, produce a surplus of money, enough left over to fund $1 trillion. That's how much savings there is every year. We here in America are going to spend in 1 year on deficit spending all the savings of the Chinese, and we're going to do it in 1 year. If everybody in the world agreed to fund our deficits and our insane way of consumer lifestyle, the Chinese could do it for 1 year and the rest of the world could do it for 6 months. That's an 18-month supply. Boys and girls, that is not only unsustainable, it is insane. It ain't going to happen very much longer. It's been drug out for about as long as we're going to get it. Now, they're working mightily, trying to stretch it out as long as possible. And I hope they're successful for as long as possible, because I don't want to face the music any more than anybody else. But the music has to be faced, whether we like it or not. And nuclear bomb war is in our future, whether we like it or not. Now, that's particularly the case here with the United States. Now, you Canadians are going to get off the hook there. I don't think there's going to be very many nukes dropping on Canada. you Englishmen and Frenchmen and Germans, you're going to get off fairly light. You're going to get some nukes, but you ain't going to get it like we're going to get it. And then there's going to be a new world order. There's going to be some changes. Now, in the nuclear war survival skills, their assessment, their opinion was that mankind would not be destroyed from off the earth. But Jesus of Nazareth had a different take on that. He said, I'm not going to let you be destroyed from off the planet, but the nuclear experts don't believe it's possible. But I think that Jesus, between the lines, said, yeah, it is. Because in Matthew 24, he said, if I don't stop this and intervene, no flesh would be saved alive. Now, there's three chapters here that you should jot down. So if you get your pen and paper out here, I'll tell you what the chapters are, about 10 chapters. We start with Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28. Those are the two penal clause chapters. Two. Then we'll move forward to Matthew 24, Mark 13, and Luke 21. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, three of the four Gospels. Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21. Now, flip over to Revelation chapter 6, Revelation 11, Revelation 17, and Revelation 18. Four chapters in Revelation, three chapters in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, two chapters in the Old Testament. Now, this entire book of Ezekiel is written to the United States of America and those Israelite countries that are associated with us, such as Australia, New Zealand, and Canada. Now, all of us are in this game together. In verse 13, he goes on to say, here, now we're in Ezekiel 5, verse 13, he says, thus shall my anger be accomplished, and I will cause my fury to rest upon them, and I will be comforted, and they shall know that I am the Eternal, or that I, the Eternal, have spoken it in my zeal when I have accomplished my fury in them. So if you want to know who's doing this, taint Osama bin Laden. Taint the terrorists. Taint even the Russians and the Chinese. Our Creator is going to use them against us. But if you want to know who to blame, it's God Almighty Himself. That's the guy that says, this is what I'm going to do to you. And remember, why is he doing this to us? Because we gave him the finger and told him to kiss off, and we're not going to practice his law. Now, we've got a Congress, and Congress makes our law. We've got 50 state legislatures, and those legislatures make our law. We are very careful to buckle our seatbelts and drive 55, but we won't keep the Sabbath, and we use unjust weights and balances. And we use paper money instead of gold and silver. Now, we were told, plainly, you shall not have an unjust weight or balance in your bag. And we told our God, kiss off, we're going to institute the Federal Reserve Bank. Now, we've been told very plainly, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And we told God, kiss off, we're going to keep Sunday number one. And if we don't want to keep Sunday, then we're going to keep our stores open 24/7. And you can kiss off. And because of that, not just those two commandments, but because out of 759 statutes, judgments, and commandments, out of 133 subject matters in law, we practice 51 and we violate 82. So because we will not practice this law, here's God again. Now listen to what he says here. He says in verse 13, he says, thus shall my anger be accomplished, and I will cause my fury to rest upon them, and I will be comforted. And they shall know that I, the Eternal, have spoken it in my zeal when I have accomplished my fury in them. Moreover, I will make you waste and a reproach among the nations that are round about you in the sight of all that pass by. And it shall be a reproach and a taunt, an instruction and an astonishment unto the nations that are round about you, when I shall execute judgments in you in anger and in fury and in furious rebukes. I, the Eternal, have spoken it. Here comes God. He says, now listen, pay attention. Here's what I'm going to do, and I'm going to do it to you. So I just thought, hey, what a story. Let me put this story on the air. Let me tell you what's coming down about when. Now, the when in Matthew 24, the Messiah, this is Jesus of Nazareth. Now, he said, you know, you people can read the weather. You look at the clouds in the sky and you say, ah, it's red in the east. It's going to be stormy. Or it's red in the west. Oh, it's going to be fair skies. You can read the weather, but you can't read the signs of the times. You're not able to put together the collapse of the Western industrial powers. You're unable to take a look at your bankruptcies. You're unable to look at your strategic position in the world, which is what we're taking a look at here. Now, he goes on to say to Ezekiel that he wants Ezekiel to bind up a few of these hairs in his skirt to protect them. So a third of the hairs, a third of the hairs, and a third of the hairs. Divides them into three parts. And then there's a few hairs, he says. Now, bind these up in your skirt. I want those protected. So he's going to protect a few. Now, those are the few people that I thought I would put this story out for. Most of you people out there already turned me out and tuned me out a long time ago. And a few more are listening out of morbid curiosity. Like, this guy's got to be nuts. And then there's a few that listen and they say, my God, can this guy be telling us the truth? Can this actually happen? So I'm going to let you decide, can this actually happen? I just wanted to give you the authorities and tell you, well, the Russians say it can and they're going to do it. The President of the United States and the Congress, the Supreme Court, and all the military chiefs believe it can happen, and they've prepared for it. And the only people that aren't prepared for this are the Americans. I mean, the average Joe Sixpack. He not only isn't prepared, he doesn't even know it's coming. Now, the only way we could know this is coming is if we were to read some conservative literature, you know, like The Privateer, The International Forecaster, Strategic Relocation, Nuclear War Survival Skills, or the Bible, or some other conservative paper, you know, says, hey, listen, let's take a look at reality here and see where in hell this thing's going to end up. Now, going on, he says, it'll be a reproach and a taunt and instruction and an astonishment to the nations when I shall send upon them the evil arrows of famine, which shall be for their destruction, in which I will send to destroy you and will increase the famine upon you and will break your staff of bread. Now, in the past, I have put out a series of programs on this thing of famine. How long do you need to be prepared? I said 4 years. Where did I get that number? From Revelation. 1,260 days, 1,335 days, 3.5 years, time and a half times. That's where I got my information. And I passed it on to you. Most people, when you tell them that there's a famine coming, especially here in America, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, they look at you with a blank stare like, surely you jest. No kidding. You Americans, Canadians, Australians, New Zealanders have a 3-day supply of food in your refrigerator, and you depend upon your supermarkets. A few years back, we had 73 days food supply for everybody on planet Earth. That is woefully inadequate. Everybody on planet Earth needs a 365-day food supply, bare minimum, at all times, forever and ever. We don't have it. 73 days was it. Now it's down to less than 38 days. That's critical mass. I mean, that's preposterous on its face. But that's where we're at. Now, you may be sitting here in Texas saying, well, I've got plenty of food. There's plenty of it down here at Kroger's and plenty of it out here at Walmart, and I'm not worried. You know, things change. Just take a look at New Orleans in 1 week. You know, you people down in New Orleans had plenty of food in Walmart, plenty of food in Piggly Wiggly, but then what happened when the hurricane came? See, things change, and they change drastically and in short order. So you got plenty today, but that doesn't mean you're going to have plenty next month or next year. So I'll leave it up to you. You can figure out what you want to do next. Verse 17, last verse, he says, So will I send upon you famine and evil beasts, and they shall bereave you, and pestilence and blood shall pass through you, and I will bring the sword upon you, and I, the Eternal, have spoken it. Now that's chapter 5, just 17 verses, straight from the shoulder. I'm going to kick your ass. That's what that's telling you. Now, chapter 6 goes on with the story. Now, you get about 40 chapters here. They're not all about you know, we're going to destroy you. But the entire book is written to the house of Israel. It's got a lot of prophecy that goes into the millennium and the 100-year period beyond it. Chapter 37, for instance, deals with the great white throne judgment that we see in Isaiah chapter 65. There's more to it than this, but primarily the book is written to us, the Americans, Canadians, Australians, and New Zealanders. It includes all of the House of Israel. It includes Switzerland, France, Norway, Sweden, Finland, Iceland, Denmark. It's got all of you, you know, in mind. But primarily he's after Ephraim and Manasseh. That's Great Britain and the United States. He is on us, and he says, I'm gonna affect in you something that I ain't never done before. Now, there's 30 of these Bible prophecies, 30 prophecies in the Scripture that deal with the subject matter of the Great Tribulation, this end-time event that occurs just once in history, just like Noah's flood, one time only, and it occurs just before the second coming in that 3.5-year period leading up to the second coming. Hey, I'm at the halfway point here. I got to give you a reminder if I can find my paper. Here it is. And remind you that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Remember, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. Now, for more information about the Law School and The Law Hour, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Remember, the law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective, not state schools and all. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals but by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults and compact desks. And the Law Hour website is updated weekly and has a radio log schedule and archives. All of that can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, the law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order one by calling and asking for it. The number is 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, you can go to our website and download that free introductory CD package right off of our website. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief, and the Law Hour and editorial review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program. And we often endorse or recommend books, papers, periodicals, and newsletters to our listeners. These endorsements, these recommendations that we give, don't mean that the authors or publications that we're endorsing are necessarily going to reciprocate. Keep in mind, most of these authors and publications that we cite here on the Law Hour and editorial review may be hostile, political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans, and their viewpoint may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and editorial review either. Now, these opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine. They're mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the views, beliefs, or the opinions of the advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or the staff of this radio network or of this local radio station. So if you'd like more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, then please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, or you can call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we are looking at the prospects of nuclear bomb war, nuclear suicide. This idea of nuclear suicide comes from Joel Skousen, who wrote the book Strategic Relocation. I suggest that you call, write, wire, and get a copy, or get a copy in some other way, of Strategic Relocation, North American Guide to Safe Places. It also tells you the North American Guide as to where all of the unsafe places are. So you should at least take a look at your location and see if you're in a safe place or a dangerous place. I mean, it might just good news to you to hear that you're living in a pretty safe location. On the other hand, it may be in downtown Chicago, next to the Loop in your condominium. You might find that, this is not the best or the safest place to be. You can get a copy of his book by contacting him either by telephone or by email. His phone number is 801-224-4746. Get your pen and paper out there. This is Joel Skousen. Telephone number is 801-224-4746. Now, you can also send him an email. That's joels@joelskousen.com. Again, that's joels@joelskousen.com. Or you can write him at 290 West 580 South in Orem, Utah. The zip code 84058. Again, that's 290 West, 580 South, Orem, Utah, 84058. Now, that'll get you started on strategic relocation. I don't know what the price is. I've forgotten now. It's probably under $30. Worth every dime. Worth every dime. And I'm not getting a kickback. Nobody's sending me any residuals here. I'm doing this because it's part and parcel of our program. We like to review books and tell you, well, here's what I see. I think the guy's right on point. I couldn't see anything in there to disagree with. Now, he's probably human and fallible just like me and everybody else, but I think he pretty well hit the nail on the head. Now, we reviewed another book here called Nuclear War Survival Skills, put out by the U.S. government. You know, if you can't trust your government, who can you trust? That's what I always tell people. You know, if you can't trust your government, who can you trust? Anyway, this book here is put out, and I gave you the ISBN numbers in previous programs and told you a story about it. There's an outfit here called the Oregon Institute of Science and Medicine. If you were to get on the internet, you might be able to find Oregon Institute of Science and Medicine, Cave Junction, Oregon. They're the ones that publish it. The original edition, published in September of 1979, was put out by the Oak Ridge National Laboratory, a facility of the U.S. Department of Energy. It may be that you can get it from the U.S. Government Printing Office. And that's another point. But if you can't, then there's the Library of Congress catalog number was 87-60790. Again, that's Library of Congress catalog number 87-60790. And the ISBN number was 0-942-487-01-X. I find that by using these numbers and going to Barnes and Noble, they can work miracles in finding these odd, hard-to-find books. Let's take a look at Chapter 6. This is Ezekiel Chapter 6. This is the creator of the universe. Now he's a little ticked off at us, and understandably so. Understandably so. We've been giving him the finger. Don't do anything he tells us. And finally, he's reached the end of his rope, and he says, you know, I'm going to tune you people up. He starts off by saying, "And the word of the Eternal came unto me, saying, Son of man, set your face toward the mountains of Israel and prophesy against them." Now, a mountain is a government. And the nations of Israel are comprised of 10 nations, 10 of us. You know, you Swiss are part of us. You Germans, Norwegians, Swedes, Finns, Danes, Americans, Canadians, Australians, New Zealanders, you white South Africans, as many of you are left, tribe of Ashers down there in South Africa, French, English, Irish, Scots, you Dutch, you people that live in Belgium and Luxembourg, okay, now you're Frenchmen, pay attention now, listen up. Our Creator says that of us in these 10 tribes of Israel, that he's got something against us and he's going to punish us for it. All of us are in this together. All of us are going to get it. The NATO alliance, as it's called, the Israelites, we're going to get it. This is it. And he's telling us here that we're involved in, or we're going to be involved in, a massive war and a national captivity. Now, the nuclear bomb war part of it is going to strike us here in the United States. This is our Armageddon. This is it. This is the thingy. You people in Europe, if this thing comes down right, are going to capitulate and give up to the Russians without much of a fight. That's the plan. And they say, "You mountains of Israel, you governments of Israel, hear the word of the Eternal your God. Thus says the Eternal, the God, the Eternal God, to the mountains and to the hills, to the rivers and to the valleys. Behold, I, even I, will bring a sword upon you, and I will destroy your high places." He says, "I'm going to bring a war. I'm going to do this by war." Now, the mountains are the governments. Now, the hills, valleys, and rivers are things like the state governments, county governments, and the city governments. From Washington, D.C., to the city council in Eureka, California. Listen up and pay attention, because there's an ass kicking coming. Now, the only thing that we're concerned about is, when is it coming? Well, it's coming at the end of the age. It's coming during this 1,260-day period called the 3.5 years of the Great Tribulation. Now, he goes on and he says, "Your altars," that's your churches and all of your religious institutions, "shall be desolate, and your images shall be broken. I'm going to cast down your slain men before your idols, and I'm going to lay the dead carcasses of the children of Israel before their idols, and I will scatter your bones round about your altars. In all of your dwelling places, the city shall be laid waste, and the high places shall be desolate, that your altars may be laid waste and made desolate, and your idols may be broken and cease, and your images may be cut down, and your works may be abolished." I don't think he's very happy with anything that we've been doing, are doing, or about to do. And I'm not here to say give your heart to Jesus and repent. I don't give a damn what you people do. There's no skin off my back one way or the other. But as a reporter taking a look at this insane deficit spending, and here's the United States of America, flat broke. And what are we talking about? Health care insurance. I mean, to tell you, have we taken total leave of our senses? We sound like some nitwit who is on the verge of filing for a Chapter 11 bankruptcy. And then he says to his wife, "Let's go down to our local Lexus dealer and let's test drive the new Lexus automobiles. And while we're at it, why don't we go out and start looking to buy a new house to park it in?" The United States of America is bankrupt, and the rest of you people in the world might as well wake up to reality, and particularly Americans. I mean, we've been in a state of denial for so long, we actually believe we're the richest nation in the world. We have our heads up our deer ears, is what that boils down to. Now we're talking about spending trillions of dollars on health care insurance. Stimulating our economy, we've blown $29 trillion in the last 9 months, and we're talking about bailing this thing out. Okay. Don't let me get in the way of your happiness and success. Meanwhile, back on the farm, for you five or six people that are still with me, pay attention here. Verse 7, he says, "And the slain shall fall in the midst of you, and you shall know that I am the Eternal. And yet will I leave a remnant, that you may have some that shall escape the sword among the nations when you shall be scattered through the countries." Now that's the good news. The good news is he's going to save a remnant out of this, which is why I've suggested over the past years, you know, maybe it's time for us to stop giving old dad the finger. I know it's kind of a wild new concept. But, you know, it just could well be if we would stop giving him the finger. And then maybe if we would start practicing the Ten Commandments. Instead of sending your kid to public school, which is the tenth plank to the Communist Manifesto, jerk him out of public school and educate him at home. That might be a step in the right direction. Instead of paying income tax on income, why don't you pay your tithe on property? Property's never been assessed or taxed here in the United States, Canada, Australia, or New Zealand. Why don't you think about changing from the 10-plank model and go back to the 10-commandment model so that you don't owe this income tax? Why don't you stop practicing paper money with your Federal Reserve Bank and start practicing gold and silver coin, which we were instructed to do in Leviticus 19, 35, and 36. Not just a couple, three wild off-the-wall ideas, concepts. Maybe if we would go back to practicing those practices that made our country great, made our nation the envy of the world, we might be able to save ourselves out of this. We might get old dad off our ass. That is a thought. It may not work, but it's a thought. In verse 9, he says, "And they that escape of you shall remember me among the nations where they shall be carried captives, because I am broken with their whorish heart, which has departed from me, and with their eyes which go a-whoring after their idols, and they shall loathe themselves for the evils which they have committed in all of their abominations. And they shall know that I am the Eternal, and that I have said, or not said, rather, in vain, that I would do this evil unto them." Then he goes on in verse 11, he says, "Thus says the Eternal, says, there's pestilence, war, and famine, and no one will escape." Say, hey, wake up out there. If you people up in North Dakota think you're going to escape, you think that you're far enough away, buried in Orem, Utah, that you're going to escape, forget it, because I'm going to get you wherever you're at. I'm going to get you. So, I want to point out that many people think that they're going to join this or that group, and they're going to get this or that program initiated or started, or they're going to leave Los Angeles and move out to Western Colorado and evade the judgment of the living God. I would suggest to you that you rethink that. Rethink it. He isn't going to kill everybody. He tells you that very plainly. He says, "I'm going to kill all of you." Verse 8, he says, "Yet I will leave a remnant of you, that you may have some that shall escape the sword among the nations, where you shall be scattered through the countries." But do you think being taken into national captivity and put in the gulag someplace in Russia or China is the optimum? I mean, you may survive it. I mean, after all, God needs some breeding stock for the millennium, but can't you think of a better way to spend your time, effort, and energy than in a concentration camp? Now, while one-third of us are going to die in the war, and one-third of us are going to die from famine and plague, one-third of us are going to be taken into national captivity and survive it. Now, there's another little group, he says, he wants to bind. He told Ezekiel, he said, "Now, take this other little pieces of hair. Bind him in your skirt." Now, he's got a few here he's going to preserve. He's going to save them. Now, that's you rapture guys, ain't it? You rapture guys out there think that you're the guys that are going to be saved out of this. Well, it may well be. I won't sit here and argue with you. But I never saw myself as being one of the rapture guys that's going to be saved out of this, so I prepared. I prepared for the Great Tribulation. I said, "Well, it looks like I'm going to get nailed like everybody else." And then I took a step further and I said, well, maybe I better stop using these Federal Reserve notes. I closed my bank account, sent my credit cards back, so that at least I can say, hey, Dad, I followed your instruction. I'm using gold and silver coin. I got off the paper money. I jerked my kids out of the public school, and I stopped paying the income tax, and I'm paying you my tithe. I don't know if that's enough to save me out of this, but I think it's a step in the right direction. My old dad one time told me, he said, I want you to mow the grass, front yard, backyard, take out the garbage, make your bed, wash the dishes, and so on. And so I went ahead and I did that. I mowed the front lawn, the back lawn, I mowed the side yard, and I just did everything that the old man told me. Came back home, took a look, and he said to me, well done, you good and faithful servant. And he said, you mowed the backyard, and I'm really surprised, because I didn't tell you to mow the backyard. I didn't think you'd have time to get it in. Now, it's true, I did mow the backyard. I thought he told me to mow the backyard, side yard, and the front yard. And I got it confused, and so I did. I mowed the front, back, and side, and he only told me to mow the front. I mowed the side yard, and I mowed the backyard for no good purpose. But he was so impressed. He said, well done. Here's your movie money. Here's your allowance. And we're going to go shooting on Sunday. My old dad used to take me out hunting on Sunday. We'd go shoot rabbits and hell divers and targets and bottles and cans and stuff. And we just had a good time. Now, I never did that twice. I mean, I never made the mistake of going above and beyond what I was instructed to do from that point on, to my knowledge. But there was one time in my life when I actually did more than was expected of me, albeit it was an accident. I don't deny that. But my old dad was really pleased with that. So I just kind of extrapolated that forward a little bit. And I said, you know, if you and I would get off our dead hineys over here, get up off the couch, and actually put these 10 planks or these 10, yeah, the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto out on one side and then put in on the opposite the 10 Commandments. Now replace these 10 planks. Replace that public school plank with home education, and that paper money plank with gold and silver coin, and that income tax plank with tithing, you know, we might just be in that little group of hairs that Ezekiel was instructed to hide, and we might be protected from this. I know it's kind of a wild concept, but mull it over a little bit and see what you think of that. In verse 11, this is chapter 6, verse 11, he says, thus says the Eternal, smite with your hand and stamp with your foot and say, alas, for all the evil abominations of the house of Israel, for they shall fall by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence. He that is far off shall die of the pestilence, and he that is near shall fall by the sword, and he that remaineth and is besieged shall die by the famine. Thus will I accomplish my fury upon them. Then shall you know that I am the Eternal, when their slain men shall be among their idols round about their altars, upon every high hill, in all the tops of the mountains, and under every green tree, and under every thick oak, the place where they did offer sweet savor to all of their idols. So will I stretch out my hand upon them, and make the hand or the land desolate, yea, more desolate than the wilderness toward Diblath, in all their habitations, and they shall know that I am the Eternal. Now these abominations are the Congress of the United States and your state legislatures. Yeah, it includes your churches and all your religions, but your primary religion is your political religion. It's your worship of the United States, Canada, Australia, and New Zealand. It's your worship of your banks and your institutions. And he says, I'm going to clean house here. So I just thought I'd pass that one on to you. Ezekiel's got quite a story to tell. There's chapter 7 and 8 and 9 and 10. My God, there's just on and on it goes. You probably won't be able to take all that bad news in one sitting. So, you know, plan to spend a few days looking over the program. And then remember these two books that I told you about. These are a little easier for you. Nuclear bomb or nuclear war survival skills and a strategic relocation. Now, here's another myth that comes up that a lot of people are thinking about. They say a Russian nuclear attack on the United States would completely destroy all American cities. And the answer to that is no, it won't. They're not going to destroy all the American cities. But boy, are they going to make a good start. The reason that you need to worry about San Diego, Los Angeles, and Seattle is because those cities sit astride these nuclear weapons facilities. Up in Seattle, you've got all of those nuclear submarine bases right there. So where those nuclear submarine bases are located, they're going to get bombed. And while the bomb may not drop on the Space Needle in Seattle, you can rest assured that you're close enough to it that you're going to be woefully affected by it. Fallout, blast. So Seattle probably isn't, you know, your top choice for cities to relocate to. So tuck that one away in your heart and ask yourself, well, where else? Anywhere in that Puget Sound region probably is pretty poor. That's why Joel Skousen has compiled all 3,500 counties in the United States and many places in Canada and Mexico and said, now this is a pretty good place and this over here isn't so good. So Mexico's got some good places. Canada's got some good places. Here in the United States, there's some good places. But I think that our primary emphasis, after having read Ezekiel 5 and 6, primary emphasis should be in appeasing this God, this creator God, not the average, ordinary, run-of-the-mill God that we've all been worshiping on Sunday. I mean, this is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This guy is the guy that says, I not only can do this, I'm going to do it, and here with specificity is how I'm going to do it, and here's who I'm going to do it to. So this is aimed right at us. So if you're a Canadian, American, New Zealander, or an Australian, boy, that's aimed right at us. That's the book of Ezekiel. But you Frenchmen and you Danes aren't exempt either. So you ought to pay attention to that. Now, whether you do or not, you know, that's your choice in life. Hell, I've done my job. I said, let me tell you the answer to the riddle. Now I told you. Now, what you do with the information is your business. You're an adult. You know, you're free, white, and 21. And you can think for yourself. You vote, don't you? Well, I would say if you think you're smart enough to vote, then you ought to be smart enough to figure out what you need to do next. All right, so remember this is Deuteronomy 28 and Leviticus 26. Got those down. Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21, and then four chapters in Revelation. It's Revelation 6, 11, 17, and 18. And that'll tell you the story. Now, you combine that with Ezekiel chapter 5 and 6 and see what kind of a story that tells you. And then, meanwhile, I'm out of time. I'm going to have to give you a final reminder that you've been listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review. Remember, we're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. If you'd like more information about The Law School and The Law Hour, then please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals but by prearrangement. Now, the law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has our radio log schedule and archives, and all of that can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. Now, all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Hey, our time's up. We've got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station, God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.